Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Voice of the People. I am Dean Geronimo here at the studio with my man Mark Lee. Mark, what's going on with you this evening? Hello. We'll be right back. All right, and we're back. Mark, are you there, brother?
You there? Hello?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, and now we're back with the Voice of the People. This is Dean Geronimo. Got past a little technical difficulty right there, so excuse us for that. But I'm here in the studio with Mark Lee. Mark, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. I don't know how much people heard, but no, I've been sitting here rocking and rolling with the Blues Festival this past weekend. We had right here in the Haytown Center, Kim Waters, the saxophone player, Norman Connors, the legendary Norman Connors, as well as the versatile from up and down your way, Gene Karn. So, you know, we were definitely enjoying her giving us that old school kind of sound. So we were having a good old time with that.
Nice. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on down there, brother.
Oh, we've been having a whole lot of stuff happening. Hold on just one second, Dean.
Okay.
Dean.
No problem. Wow. Well, I know tonight we're supposed to have an action-packed night. Supposed to have a couple of guests coming in with us. Waiting for Jamika Holloway Burrell, founder of Black Ops Theater. She'll be talking about the play The Shipment, which focuses on Hollywood's portrayal of African Americans, and about her new theater company, which is at the forefront of the new renaissance that is taking place around the country. Now, within the conversation, we will also be talking about the health of African American theater, what she sees as new trends within the entertainment field, and we'll also be joined by Uncle Bruce Bridges, who used to own the No Bookstore. Part of that discussion will center around what happened to his historical venue and what the health is of African-American-owned bookstores. They still need it in the 21st century. So we're waiting for them to join us in that discussion. And, you know, it's a lot of raises the question if bookstores are still needed in the 21st century. I would say yes.
I definitely think bookstores are needed. And what I was actually asking within the course of that conversation was whether African-American bookstores are needed. And I believe that they are needed. But, you know, in doing my research, I looked at one of the articles and saw that there was, like, only 52 left in the whole country. I can't remember when this was published. It was published, I think, maybe a year or two ago. But, you know, there was a time that we had hundreds of African-American bookstores. You know, the Muslims had some, the Christians had some, and there were just tons of them throughout the city. But apparently there was, like, a list of about 52 and a lot of them that had shut down. But, I mean, I think there was a couple around Virginia, like Norfolk and places like that. And, of course, some in places you would expect, like Miami and Atlanta, you know, some of our hot spots. But to think that we have come to a point where there was like hundreds, and now we're down to like apparently 52 or maybe even less.
Wow. In the age of social media, I guess they take into the, you know, there was a time where there was no such thing as the internet. We had to go to the libraries, and we got those newspapers, the periodicals, and sat there, perused them, and got all our information from that. Now everything can be found within 30 seconds, and
exactly.
Then they threw out the books. But, you know, I say we still need those because critical thinking is an art that's being lost now. You know, like,
oh, yeah.
I could just go get it. It's right there. And I only have to read, like, the first couple of sentences, and but you don't read for substance or for content. So
it's really scary.
It's
really scary when you think about that, because, I mean, you know, one of the other places I work for is a test grading place. And you're right. You know, critical thinking in a lot of ways is going on the downside, and a lot of people are even training our kids towards the test. So, I mean, you really see how bad the critical thinking is when you see how they're being trained for the test, and a lot of times they're just being taught rote answers, not answers that have any sort of substance to them.
Right, and where is the actual learning? If you basically teach the test, then you're giving me an easy pass.
Exactly.
And then from there, I don't know how to actually break down, you know, the beginning, middle, and ending, and kind of get a feel for what's actually going on.
Exactly.
You know, I just answer the question.
And basically answer the way that you were told to.
Right. Some cases answering the question is okay. But when you're talking about putting your thoughts down and being able to break it down and explain it,
right,
that's really being lost.
Oh, yeah. And oftentimes that's not what's being taught.
Not at all.
Say that.
Not at all.
I hate to say that, but that's a lot of times people just kind of like letting things slide on that side. But, you know, one of the other things that I know people have been very much interested in while we're waiting for Jamaica and Bruce to call us back in, and we'll get back to that conversation, is, you know, through the course of our conversations, we've been talking a lot about police situations and the police way that they're profiling, things of that nature. We've had that issue here in Durham, too, but I don't know if you follow the news, but our Durham police chief, who had been involved in a couple of cases, actually stepped down yesterday. Mr. Lopez stepped down, and I guess he was getting too much heat and decided that he needed to get out of the kitchen.
Yeah, it got a little too hot for him. When you have a group of individuals who have their own mindset, and it's like, well, we're going to do this because this has always worked. But then you have to put the human factor in it, you know, and at what point do you finally say, you know what, we have too many incidents. We have
exactly.
too much going on, and we need to take a step back and, you know, are we not really paying attention to the community, or, you know, are we just policing by vehicle, which leads to, you know, my wife had showed me on Facebook, there's a officer Tommy Norman from North Little Rock, Arkansas. He has like a whole bunch of posts where he's out there in the community. He's actually involved with the children in the community, you know, so that they know who he is. And he's got these videos of them running up to his car and sitting in the car and playing with him. And he's sitting on the porch and, you know, eating ice cream on the porch with the kids. And how policing should be, you know with whom you're dealing with, but also know who you serve.
Exactly.
And a lot of law enforcement communities, it's like, well, I'm the police. I ride around. I look for trouble. I stop trouble. But how about getting to know your people so that they respect, then it becomes a mutual respect thing. And
exactly. That's what we got to have more of. But we do not have that at all.
Right. They're more willing to help you shut some stuff down as opposed to just waiting for you to come and fix the problem. So at some point, I guess it has to make sense. And some, you know, like with that police chief, he probably just like, look, just don't kill anybody, we'll be fine. But then all of these other things came into play, and it's like, you know what, this is too much for me. I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah, but I mean, unfortunately, we got too many police officers that are out there. Like you said, they're just trying to do it because of some ego thing or something else. It's not about actually trying to police and actually being involved in law enforcement in that sense. They've got some ego thing going on. I think some of them might even be because of their military background, but that's just my personal opinion and everything. But we've got to find ways to tighten up on that and everything.
Well, and some people believe that they can, you know, fly, walk on water, and then for the thousands and other law enforcement officers who put that uniform on and work hard and serve their communities, it gives them a bad name, and people start to, you know, mistrust the law enforcement as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
So now, not only do you have to fight the crime, you have to fight the people who wear the same uniform as you that are out here doing kind of their own thing. Like, one of these kids is doing their own thing, and they are just it. So now you end up bearing the cross for all of that, you know.
It's being crazy with it, but, yeah, we got to find ways to tighten it up. I know that I'm surprised you're not over there watching the debate.
No, you know what? At this point, I don't really, it's too early for me. You know, it's like coming out and saying, you know what, I got a new clothing line coming out. It'll be coming out in 2017. And you're like, okay, so what does it look like? Well, I don't know yet, but it's coming out. And that's
coming out, it's going to be hot. I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's going to be hot.
Right. Here's the name. The name might change, but for right now, here's the name. And that's what we want to do. And you have all these people that are running for the office of the President of the United States.
Oh, I think I heard a thing. Was that a phone call?
No, that's me, Mark.
No, that's... Oh, hey. Welcome to the show, Miss. May you introduce yourself to those that are listening right now.
It's Ty Jones. Ty Jones.
Ty Jones, it is the actual voice of the voice of the people. With that being said, call in and join the conversation at 914-338-0659, or you can listen live at blogtalkradio.com/Ty Jones' voice. So we appreciate you. And good evening, ma'am. How are you?
I'm doing well. Got a question for you guys, and it's going to definitely not be about tonight's topic. But I was having a conversation with an adult earlier today, a heterosexual male. And so I said I would pose that question and ask two decent men who seem to have all of their scruples the same question, because he felt so passionate that he was very right about what he felt. So the question was, if you had, let's say you were married once, and Mark, I know we know you're not married, but just put yourself in this situation.
Yeah, no problem.
So you're married once, you're divorced, and your ex-wife has a sister, and the sister and you have something between you two, meaning she's flirtatious and, you know, open. She's married, but she has eyes for you, and she does like to flirt and entice you. Would you, even though you and the wife are no longer married, would you sleep with your ex-wife's sister?
No,
he
babe,
said
babe.
He, hold on, and he did this. He did this and said, what man out there wouldn't do that?
Ain't happening.
I don't see anything wrong with it.
Like I said,
so
ain't happening.
I want to hear from you guys.
Ain't happening. There's certain codes, and that's one of the codes. You do not mess with siblings. I mean, unless you got like a really serious open relationship, and I'm talking about like when y'all are together, and that's a whole different conversation. But in terms of the regular rules, you do not talk to your siblings of those that you have been involved with. That's just an unwritten rule. It's kind of like the friend rule. If you've been with a you know, if an ex has been, even if they've been past everybody, it's got to be some serious time passed before you even approach that person, if that was somebody that was involved with a close friend of yours, like a best friend or a good buddy or things of that nature.
So I want to hear from Dean. What do you have to say?
He must be a lonely dude with not a lot of friends, and he doesn't get out much. With the ratio of women to men, period. You chose the sister, so all of the cousins, sisters, girlfriends, they're all off limits. And there's still enough women around out there to, you know, go ahead and do your thing. So I don't know how closed in of a life this brother may have, But man, it's real, in my opinion, real closed in guy, man. Doesn't get out much. The only people he sees is like his ex-wife and his sister. Yeah, she's flirting.
He doesn't see the ex-wife anymore because she moved on with her life. And I guess, you know,
yeah, but
my question was, why did you even... The sister, and the sister has a husband. And, you know, and my thing is, why did you go there? And he said, he tried to validate his part in saying he is a man. So he didn't do anything she didn't allow him to do. So therefore, he don't see nothing wrong he did. He said he puts the blame on her. I said, both of y'all are nasty, in my opinion. And he was like, so, it's like more so like standing up for men. Like, it's not the man's fault. It's she's the hoe.
He's standing
like,
up for, wait a minute, he can't stand up for men when you're on grown boy status. You know what I'm saying? Just because you're a grown boy doesn't make you a man. So, I mean, men don't do that stuff that's absent of thought. But a grown boy would do it every single time. And not only is he justifying it in his mind, but he's giving you a nice excuse.
That's what I thought. I said, I argued it down. You know me, I like to go back and forth. And I just pretty much said, you know, I don't think you're morally correct whatsoever, because no right man, no grown man in my mind that I know would do that. And he said he begged to differ, you know, and he's like, case in point, he did it. I'm like, well, you are not the exception to the rule, but yeah, first of all, your sister-in-law, you know, so what, she's enticing you. You still had that choice to get up out of that bed and go and bounce over there. You know what I mean? You didn't have to do it. You didn't. What if you would have got the girl pregnant, knowing that you were married to her sister? What if you would have got her pregnant? Did you ever think about that? You know, then you got to walk around having two sets of nieces and nephews, but one is your kids, and then you got to say, I don't know, that's just like some Jerry Springer stuff right there. I mean, and then this person is in their 40s, so they know better. You know what I mean? Like, you're a grown adult.
Nah, you give people too much credit. So, you know, don't give him that much credit. He's a grown boy that's lived long enough that he should have some sense. But that means whatever woman, like, gives him a second, he's going to sleep with him and say, well, she's a hoe because she was flirting with me and I slept with her. Well, all right. Her husband finds out. He's going to be sleeping. You're going to be taking that good long dirt nap. You know, you be careful for what you do it.
And then the sad thing is that girl was, you know, she uses cocaine. So she's not in her right mind. She's put glow up her nose. So she not even got all her, you know, she's not even thinking straight.
So the sister's a dopehead. Okay.
And promiscuous on her husband.
He did it because all he had to do was give her a little. He gave her a little blow, and she gave him some blow. So, you know, tit for tat.
Yeah, I don't. Mark, why are you so quiet? Oh no, I don't know where Mark went. I just think that,
I mean,
this is. I don't get it. Mark, are you there? I don't know what happened to Mark.
Uh-oh.
I think maybe he'll call back. Okay. I mean,
so,
I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand. What is it? As we get older, we just get more stupid. Like, I'm watching, you know, I've been watching Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. They got way too much time on their hands, these people. Love the show. Can't deny. Do love the show. Big up to Rich Dollaz, who always seems to find his way back on any cast of Love and Hip Hop. Because now,
Ricky D doing his magic up in Hollywood, but it's about to turn bad for him if you ask me, because you know, you asked
him. That girl is cray cray. You know that girl is cray cray, right?
Cover tattoos. She's already said like 3 times, "You're gonna move in with me forever." Oh my goodness!
Right.
So,
and she is not wrapped too tight. You already know that,
yeah.
That if that one right there, you remember what she did last season, the Fizz's girl, where she yoked that chick by the hair and had her head pinned down to the table, and she was just as calm as she wanted to be with her Evelina self. Didn't I tell you? I mean, she is not playing. So if she catches that boy cheating or anything else, I will,
yeah, it's
going to
be a dollar unlimited. It's going to be a limited beatdown, because that chick is, she's already made it known that, you know, "I want you to be here forever." And he's like, "Nah, I'm not doing it." But she going to make him do it or something. You know, she's got to.
I think,
you know what I mean?
I think
oh,
Rich Dollars.
Rich Dollars.
Rich, Mark, do you, we don't know if you watch reality TV.
I watch some reality TV, but the reality TV I watch is not the type that y'all watch, because I can't stand those types.
Okay.
But I used
okay,
to be into
so
those
this
more
one,
like competitive types. Like Amazing Race was one of my favorites when I had a TV. I don't have a TV right now.
Right.
I got to wait.
Okay.
I got to wait for
like,
the TV.
I used to watch Amazing Race. And then I did used to like, what's the other one? When the MTV Real World, when they used to compete, I used to watch the competitions between them.
Yeah, well, the competitions. I mean, I even got into Survivor for a while. You know, one of the winners
Survivor,
was actually from around
yeah.
here. He was he's an IBM person. I think he still works for IBM.
But the bottom line is, I kind of veg out on the ratchetness, I'm going to admit. So I do like my Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, Hollywood, Atlanta Housewives. I just started watching an episode of The Game. It seems like every chick looks like she's related to each other. They all look like the same European or Spanish with the long hair. I guess that's his type of female he's wanting. They already done fist fighted on the show. I'm like, wow.
Well,
these chicks are already getting it in. But what do you think you're going to get when you put a house full of young women in their 20s, don't know no better, all competing for this one man's affection? And then at the end of this thing, half of them don't even stay with the man. It's just like a promotional stunt to get you some exposure so you can get on the next reality show.
And
well, you got to think about
it. And how many of them are actors?
What'd you say?
I said, how many of them are actual true reality people, and how many of them are actors?
There's not a lot of them
like
that are.
It's
kind of
like
actors.
The judge shows. It's kind of like the judge shows. Some of those, we have to wonder if they're actually not being paid to be those roles, like if they don't have a script.
I mean, are those judge reality shows? I thought like Judge Judy and Judge Joe Brown that they're really judges.
No, they're really judges, but they have been cases. There have been reports throughout the internet and on major media about how a lot of times those actual plaintiffs are going from show to show to show and are actually getting paid and actually sometimes even have scripts.
Oh, the plaintiffs, though, that's funny. Okay. Well, I don't mean to hate on Steve Harvey, but I don't know who named him Doctor of Love, but he seems to be telling everybody about their relationship. And
that's because they allow him to. I mean, you know, like, I don't know, no disrespect to Steve Harvey at all, but I would you take advice from a dude that's like taking advice from a dude that just came home from prison from his fifth bid, you know, like.
Right.
Telling you what you need to do to stay out of prison, like, no disrespect,
right.
But you really are not the one that needs to be conveying that message. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, I'm not, just because he did Think Like a Man. I don't know who encouraged him to do the book Think Like a Man. They turned it into a movie. Now he's Hollywood. You know, he's hosting Family Feud. He got the talk show. You know, wherever he got his degree in, you know, psychology or psychiatry, and he's like a Dr. Phil, and he can just advise people. But everybody is on the Steve Harvey bandwagon. I don't like Strawberry Letter. I do listen to the Steve Harvey Morning Show, and I don't. I love Uncle Tommy. Uncle Tommy is hilarious, and I love me some Uncle Tommy. If he can't call me, I might fall for it, you know, because sometimes he does catch you off guard. But that strawberry letter, who in their right mind is calling into a show to vent their dirty laundry, and they just dismiss these people so horribly? These people be on this show telling all their business, and Steve just be chopping them down, and I feel so embarrassed for whomever it is. Honestly, I'm like, wow, this guy is really, you know, whoever these people were. And some of them, honestly, some of the letters are asinine. The people are asinine. You wouldn't think in a million years that you would hear people do, like grown folks, just like I said, the scenario with the guy saying he slept with his ex-wife's sister and didn't see nothing wrong with it. You got grown women like, you know, I'm with my lover, I'm still married, but I want to leave him, and, you know, he doesn't have a job. I hear scenarios like this, like, what do you mean he doesn't have a job? Why are you leaving your husband for a man that's unemployed? Why are you paying his bills? What is going on in the world with some of these women nowadays? Have they lost their minds? Is it that bad out here for a sister? I mean, I'm single. You know, I had a false alarm, so the guy that I thought, he's a toad, he's a frog, it's not going to happen. So I move on, pick my head up, whatever. But it's not that much loneliness in the world for a woman to put herself out here to be paying for some D. Just to put it out there, so I'm sorry, I had to say it like that, but you don't got to pay for the D.
So
the D will come to you. The D will come to you, ladies, if you just stay, get busy doing you with a career and or school or activities or functions. I don't get it. Mark, are you having some issues over there in Durham with the women?
Well, I mean, you got some women that have different kinds of issues. You got some that are looking at the how can I put it? You got some that are searching for the doctors and the lawyers, and I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's fine and dandy.
Oh my God! Speaking of that, they do have a reality show shot right here in Atlanta, Married to Medicine.
Married
now,
to Medicine.
None of them chicks are cute. Now, if they could bag them a doctor, I should have been married. None of them chicks are cute. They all look simple. With some got big teeth, overbites. I was like, wow. Where the hell did I miss jumping on that bandwagon and marry one of these chiropractors or freaking? I need to go to hang out in different circles because they are spoiled and ugly and got too much time on
wow.
their hands to be fussing with their husbands over stupid stuff. And then they got these chicks going to like Cheetah, like the strip club and stuff too. Knowing these women don't really go to no daggone strip club. These reality shows really stage this stuff and making black women look crazy. You know they don't halfway do half that stuff. I don't know too many doctors. I mean, do doctors' wives go to strip clubs? I don't know. What do you guys
think? I can't understand what some people's attitudes are. I mean, some people are looking for love in all the wrong places, and we know how that can be. That never seems to work.
So what's
right.
all the wrong places? What's all the wrong places? Is going to single sites off limits now? Are the single websites to go and date, is that an option for the singles? And is it safe?
I mean, you got some people that are looking even in places that, you know, technically should be the right places. But if you go in there with the wrong attitude, it's probably the wrong place because you got some folks going into the church, but they're going into the church on a mission. I mean, it's one thing to go into the church because you want to get the message of God and you want to hear the word of God and
yeah.
things of that nature. It's another thing to go in there because you're on a mission to find a husband.
I know. I've met some people like that. Honestly, when I do go to church, I go to church for the word because honestly, ain't nobody cute in my church anyway. I'm not dating none of them, brother. They're not cute to me. I'm not even attracted to none of them. I do go to a Baptist church, which is Dr. Charles Stanley's church, which I love his word. So honestly, just go there. I go by myself. I don't even need nobody to hold my hand to go to church. And I don't be looking for anyone. But I have, like, I went to visit my girlfriend's church in South Carolina, and she's quicker to want to get me married than I am. She's like, girl, we got to get in here. Find your husband. And I was like, we're doing what? I said, no, we're not doing all that. I'm like, I didn't come to your church to meet no husband. I thought, I don't even know if I know that man. I know I don't know him, and I might not even like him. Or what if he snores? I mean, I have standards, you know. I mean, I'm just saying.
Wow.
After marriage number one, after marriage number one, there's just
certain things. What if he snores? I mean, is that a deal breaker right there?
Okay, if it's a light snore, it's okay. But if it's a big, huge, you know, like a bear snore, like, and I just can't sleep through it, and I have to put earplugs in, I can't. And you have sleep apnea, and you want to choke in your sleep, and I might have to, like, I don't know. Like, I got standards.
I hear you having standards. Now, I got a question for you. Now, since you, how far do those standards go? Like, could you date somebody that, say, was epileptic?
Hey, why you had to put me on the spot like that, Mark?
I'm just asking.
Why you had to put me on the spot like that? Now the people on the Facebook and stuff is like, oh, Todd Jones thinks she's stuck up, she won't. Now, I don't mind dating someone who's got diabetes. I mean, there's a lot of people, especially in the Black community, that do have diabetes. And diabetes can be monitored, and you can maintain. Now, you have to refresh my memory with the other one you mentioned. Do they have seizures or something?
That's
like that?
The one with seizures, epileptics.
Okay. Now, if I'm dating someone, you know, and I love that person, and I deeply love that person, and they told me that they have those, then the love goes past the seizures. I would do that over snoring. Sorry, because...
Now, what about if they want to, since I'm putting you out there, what if they are one of those kind of guys that wants to spend as much time in the bathroom as a woman does?
Yeah.
Doing what, though? What is he doing in the bathroom?
I mean, maybe he's primping and pressing. Yeah, primping like some of y'all do.
Now, if he's primping as much as I am, then I got to question him just like Star Jones should have questioned her first husband that turned out to be a fruitcake, huh? Because not too many straight heterosexual men I know primp as much as I do. Am I lying, Dean?
Wow.
Do you take as much time in the bathroom as your wife?
No, because she won't be done in 20 minutes.
Yeah, and I could be in and out in 15.
Okay,
exactly.
So my case in point. You guys, so the real men, y'all take 20, 15 minutes. Us women might take an hour, hour and a half. So if a man is taking all that time, then I might have to question his sexuality, because he don't need to primp that much. I mean, that's just my opinion. I'm not dating a diva. I don't want no male diva. You know, his name is not Michael Jackson, and he is not Prince, and he don't have no eyeliner on.
Sweet.
Let's talk about blockers. You know, his name ain't Sweet Willie. He don't really need to be pimping like
Chuck.
That. Sweet Chuck, or no Sweet Chuck neither. He could up Chuck. That's what he really could do.
He could up Chuck.
Damn shame.
That's just wrong.
But Sweet Chuck.
I'm just saying. I mean, snoring is a big deal. I can't sleep. I don't sleep good as it is. So I'm not dating a snorer.
So snoring is a breaking point.
You're a hater.
I'm a hater because I won't date a snorer.
You're a hater.
Yo, how is that hating?
You're hating on the guys that snore.
No, okay, so that's like you saying, would you date a chick that drools on a pillow?
She drools on a pillow. She's not slobbing on me. I mean, she could slob on something,
she...
but I mean, shit.
We're not going to even go there. We're not going to go there. That's
just,
an extreme.
You asked the question. Be careful what you ask. You just might get the answer. But I'm just saying, what? I mean, come on, man.
It's a noise thing. You snoring, it's snorting, it's loud. I just can't fall asleep with all the noise like that. It's just,
hater.
It's
You're a hater.
I don't
being
think
a hater?
That's a hater.
Hating on she's a hater. She hates those
okay,
that snore. All right, guys,
no,
if you're listening
not...
out there, she hates you. If you snore, don't even worry about it.
I don't hate. No, I don't hate. I don't hate. Now, that's just like telling Mark. You don't have no limits. You don't have any limits on what you would and what that date.
Oh, yeah, there's certain
like,
things I'm not going to deal with.
Are you dating a big chick?
As a general rule, I do not date big chicks. I mean, I have dated them
now,
in the past, but as
okay,
a general rule, I do
okay,
not.
Okay, so now I want to
know,
why don't
you
date
chicks? Man, big chicks can cook, dog.
Say what?
Big chicks can cook, dog. You never go hard.
And I do like eating, but
shout
you
out
know,
to all
there's
shout out to all
the
big chicks
know,
out there.
Yeah, they have some great
personalities.
And they can't call them
big, though.
Not it.
It's big. Are you saying big as in thick? Shout out to all the thick chicks out there. Sister Big Bones
no,
and all that good stuff. You know what I mean?
No, because there are some sisters that,
hating.
You know, have thickness in all the right places, and they look great. Like, there are sisters that, you know, have the thighs mm-hmm. and the hips. I'm not hating on them. I'm not talking about big, like, big chicks. I'm talking about big, like, mother love big. You dating somebody like that? Like, what's her name that played in, what's her name, Precious?
Yeah, Precious, the one that was in those movies.
Would you date somebody like
See.
Precious?
Would I date somebody like Precious?
Would you date somebody that's as big as
You know why?
You would date,
you know why?
Wait a minute, okay, Dean.
You know why?
I'm going to
tell you why. I'm going to tell you exactly why. Everybody's hooked on look. And when you're hooked on look, you got something that looks beautiful and crazy as hell. And next thing you know, your whole life is upside down. Instead of
so
looking
what
at
the
individual.
Pretty girls are crazy?
Pretty girls crazy as shit.
Not all of them,
out
but there are quite a few of y'all that are crazy.
Not all of them, but there's quite a few crazy chicks out there. All you got to do is look at Ratchet TV.
You'll
find a whole lot of them. By looks,
so what
they're
you
beautiful,
trying to say?
But nuts.
So you trying to say fat girls... Or big girls are not crazy. They
no,
don't do
a crazy,
crazy
big girl
stuff.
Too.
That's not what I'm trying to say. Is what I'm saying is those women. You know when you start getting hemmed up on what they look like on the outside, and you never pay attention
mm-hmm.
to what the inside looks like. The inside
mm-hmm.
looks like trash. So you end up being a garbage man. If you want to be the garbage man, hey, go ahead. Whatever floats your boat makes mine sail. But at the same time. I'm going to be with the person that matches, that gets along with me. If they happen to be a little bigger than most, then so be it. That's how it is. But I'm not going to say, nah, I'm not going to deal with you because you fat. Nah, I can't do that. Because, see, you're going to miss out on something based on, and as we get older, ain't nothing getting slimmer. You're killing yourself trying to stay skinny. You know what I mean? So,
I can only speak for myself.
You always been slim, but what I'm saying is, I'm saying
right.
most people
so,
gravity hits, them breasts started to lean down. They not sitting up like they used to no more. They get ready to lean back when you lay down. You know what I'm saying? They look like they're on opposing sides of the football field. But hey.
Ew.
If you sit there and you judge before you get to know, you're going to miss out on somebody that's very up that could actually keep you sane. You know what I mean?
No, and I do agree with you because as I aged and as I got older, thank God for wisdom, I started looking past all of the, you know, quote unquote, the list. You know, like that movie with Sanaa Lathan years ago when she did the movie Something New and her and her girlfriends were at Valentine's Day dinner and they were sitting by themselves and they all had this list, you know, this is my requirement, this is what it was. And then, you know, later down in the movie, she winds up falling in love with a white guy. So that, you know, the moral to the story is you do have to open your mind, expand it to new things, because I will admit, I really don't have a preference. I don't have a race. I don't have a body type. I used to have a body type when I was younger. But nowadays, and I will admit, my biggest all-time crush ever was big up to Heavy D. Rest in peace, Heavy D. You know, I will tell anybody on this earth that was my all-time favorite man ever. I was 16 when I fell in love with Heavy D. I don't know what it was. He was the overweight lover. I didn't care what size he was. I mean, it was just, I thought the guy was beautiful. Now, down the road, as I've gotten older, I do look past a brother's physique sometimes if the personality is right, if he's cordial, if he's got manners, if he's respectful, if we get along, if we laugh. So, you know, I'm not opposed to the body type. Just don't be, you know, for me, I don't want you to be too unhealthy. You know, I don't mind a big person or a thicker person. I just don't want something too unhealthy. That's my opinion. My opinion is my opinion. This is blogtalkradio.com. This is Ty Jones, The Voice, along with Mark Lee, Dean Geronimo. You can catch us every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Ty Jones, The Voice. Follow us on Facebook, The Voice of the People, as well as where can they find you, Dean Geronimo and Mark Lee? Where can they find you guys?
They can definitely find me on Facebook. They can look under Lee Entertainment or the Mark Lee pages. It's actually two of them. And they can find me there. Of course, they can always send an email, bluesradio@gmail.com. And, of course, if they're in Durham, they can find me at all kinds of cultural events because I'm usually right in the middle of something because this weekend we've actually got our street festival. Centerfest is coming up this weekend. And I know you used to hang out over there every once in a while and check that artwork and the live music and just that whole downtown atmosphere.
Very cool. Yeah, that's a very cool. So, Dean Geronimo, where can they find you?
Oh, I'm at twitter.com/DeanGeronimo. And also, you can find the Dean Geronimo Experience on Facebook. It's facebook.com/DDGE13. So, other than that, catch me if you can. You know what I mean? I'm always out and about. See you when I see you. And if I don't, catch me on the book.
That's what's up.
So my question for you is,
Yeah, I do have some questions. But go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I had a quick question. So, Neil, now we've covered that you will deal with a big person, but it's not your preference.
Mm-hmm.
Will you cross the racial boundary?
I already have. That started, I crossed racial bounds. You got to remember, my mom is African-American and Cherokee Indian. From Harlem, New York. My father is from Puerto Rico, and my grandfather is Dominican. So those racial lines was crossed at a young age, you know what I mean? I have cousins that are blonde and blue eyes. I have cousins that are brunette. I have cousins that are blue-black. So I started my first boyfriend for 4.5 years when I was 20. He was Danish. He was from Brooklyn. He had blonde hair, dreadlocks past his behind, and blue eyes. And we were in a very serious relationship for 4.5 years. So I had some backlash from family members back then. Some of my cousins joked that, oh, he looks like Jesus. You dating the devil. You know, I got it all back then. Oh, Ty is a hippie, or she's an Oreo, you know. Cause especially I had grew dreadlocks back then too, because I was dating a Rastafarian. So, trust me, it was it wasn't comfortable, but I didn't care because it's who I loved and who loved me. And you got to remember, I lived in New York City, where interracial couples are very welcomed, and all of our friends were pretty much in interracial relationships. So it kind of was a comfortable because everybody that we were friends with were dating outside their race. So it made it easy for me because I really didn't care what people thought.
So, you had it all together then.
I mean, I've always been comfortable in my skin. I consider myself a humanitarian. I think just people are people, so therefore I don't care if you're from Zimbabwe or Paris, or I don't care. You know, you could be from Switzerland. You can't love someone just because, okay, you're familiar with them because we fall under the same category of Black Americans. And so I know that is something with Black American women. Oh, I'm only going to date my man. But then they complain when that Black man dates a white woman. oh, he's a traitor. I don't consider that a traitor. I consider that a person that he loves who he loves. I can't hate on that. You know, I mean, I understand sometimes it's a bittersweet pill if he was at one time married to you and then he goes and bees with a white woman. I could see where there can be some resentment. But yet and still, we're all human beings. As long as they sit on the toilet and take a shit, I consider them a human being, you know?
Well, that we share in common, because I find myself to be very tolerant of people across the board, and I do mean across the board, because I'm also not going to make a judgment based on people making choices of other people that they want to talk to. It's not for me.
Right.
They can do what they want to.
So, Dean, have you ever dated outside your race?
Well, yes.
You did? Okay.
Right.
How old were you?
I don't know if that's really... You say how old am I?
No, how old were you when you dated outside the race?
I was in my 20s, but I don't consider that even outside of my race to consider someone who's, you know, Panamanian and Dominican. So, I still say they are the brown side. So, you know...
I mean... You have to, honestly, they are of another race, because you got to remember, Panamanians and Dominicans have a different culture than African Americans. And I could say that for sure, because I have family members from Dominican Republic that have nothing in common. They don't know nothing about a collard green, grit, good times, soul train, none of that stuff. You know, they do have in common that there are certain bloodlines that run deep within Dominicans, just like African Americans, that make them, the melanin is dark complexion, and some do have coarse hair. But when it comes to some of them relating to your story, or they don't even know what the hell Roots was about, some of them, you know what I'm saying? It's just the similarity in the melanin and the darkness in their skin. Because I have family members, when I was growing up as a child, like I can recall, even at 3, 4, 5 years old, going to my abuela's house, and I would say, Wella, can you make me some grit? And she said, get grit. I don't know what's a grit. She said, get here, so get grit. And then I had to explain to her what grits were. And she said, oh, no, I don't cook grits in my house. So it was a culture shock for me as a child growing up. One house made grit and fish in the morning, and the other one made Havana. Or huevos con tostada, which is just some toast with some eggs. You know, it was a total culture shock growing up for me to embrace two cultures as a child that allowed me to understand this culture celebrates life in a totally different way. Thanksgiving, we didn't eat the same food as my black family did. My Spanish relatives ate different delicacies as opposed to the black family. There were some similar things, you know. I will say Spanish people do know how to party. You know, they will have a house party till the crack of dawn, which was very beautiful growing up. So,
and you ought to try going to those parties that some of those African brothers that were, particularly when they have their rites of passage. I remember when I was at the Arts Council, those parties might go to 5 or 6 in the morning, and they'd be ready to go for the next round at 6 in the morning.
Yeah. No, I agree, because I dated a guy from Senegal once, and Senegalese know how to party. So do those Nigerians. That's what I'm saying. I don't have any discrimination. I've dated men from Senegal, from Nigeria. I've dated a guy from Russia, from Paris, from Denmark. I dated a guy from Japan, Ethiopian. I don't discriminate. As long as he's a good, you know, down-earth man and we have similarities, I don't see why not, you know, until I meet that man that's going to be the one. I'm going to keep my options open. Shoot, I'm thinking about taking this trip to Dubai, so I might need me like that Busta Rhymes song. So I need that A-Rap money, too. So I might...
trying to be like your girl and supposed to get a tomorrow, Miss Janet, and find you an Arab?
Exactly. Go over there and get me some A-Rap money, too.
Yeah,
I want to come back in a Maybach.
It seems to have worked for Janet, and she'll be here in Raleigh tomorrow afternoon, so... I'm sure that part of that...
Oh, yeah. Is she performing there?
Performing at Walnut Creek.
Yeah, she'll be, she's coming, I think, if she hasn't already. I know she's done her thing here in Atlanta. I do know I should be attending November 12th. Kim, along with Tamar Braxton, will be performing at the Fox Theater here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I do plan to be in attendance because we do have one of our fellow VSU alumni. He's an account executive for CBS Radio. And he works, you know, with one of the accounts is V103 and all those stations. So I think he's going to hook me up with some tickets, guys. So I would love to see Kim live. I think he's an amazing cool. artist. And may want to broadcast from there and just call in. Speaking of which, let's try to, since I have both of you men on this roundtable tonight, let's try to do, Mark Lee, if you're out and about any other Wednesday evening, and if you're at a bar, if you're at a pub, if you're doing anything on the out and about and want to broadcast live, I think that would be pretty cool for us to do that on the show.
We can definitely do that.
Interesting topics such as if we can get the young woman that is in a same-sex relationship and she's going to be a guest on the show and wants to freely talk about that, are we going to be able to do that?
I've talked to her. She's very open to it. I sent her the information on the show, so I'm hoping to hear from her with a confirmation for October very soon. But I sent you her information. She's a black feminist and an activist, and very much does not hide the fact that she is a what she calls queer liberation.
Queer liberation. Big up for queer liberation. I do know I used to love, she was a famous poet, and her name was Nikki Giovanni. I didn't even realize that years ago that Nikki Giovanni was lesbian. She didn't really speak of it much. She did have a daughter earlier in her career.
I mean, one of the
leading.
I just going to say one of the leading historical figures right here in Durham didn't really speak on it, but it's come out after she's passed away. But yeah, Pauli Murray was pretty much definitely involved in the gay and queer community back in like the Renaissance era.
So why do they have to use the word queer? You know, like, why is it such a derogatory reference to people that want to be, you know, I'm just playing devil's advocate right now. Why does it have to be queer? Now, what's the definition of queer? Let me see.
Like I said, I think
queer
a lot of times, and this
is
just my guess,
different?
Like I said, we can ask Alexis when she gets on here, but my guess is that it's probably the same reason that people got with the N-word and tried to find a way to reclaim it and redefine it to make it fit in as a more positive word for them.
Okay,
a lot of
so
times, and I think
the,
even Dean would agree with this, people will find a word that is derogatory and basically find a way to reclaim it.
All right, so Wikipedia indicates that queer is an umbrella term for sexual and gender minorities that are not heterosexual or CIS gender, originally meaning strange or peculiar. Queer came to be deployed against those with the same-sex desires or relationships in the late 19th century. So beginning in the late 1980s, queer scholars and activists began to reclaim the word to establish community and assert a politically identity of distinct form of gay political identity. So queer may be used by those who reject traditional gender identities and seek a broader, less conformist, and deliberately ambiguous alternative to LGBT. We'll post this on the Voice of the People page, but this is Wikipedia's definition of queer. What do you guys think about that?
Interesting.
Yeah, that's an interesting definition. I have to think about that and get back to you on that one.
I mean, I think it is interesting because, you know, when I even hear, I was an English major in college. So if I hear something in that term, queer, to me it already sounds derogatory. To me it already sounds something that is not positive. And Wikipedia's definition is making it as though this is something that they're proud to stand by. Those that have allowed themselves to conform to this community. So everybody, I guess, I mean, they even have their own flag. everybody, you know, who supports individuals that are in same-sex relationships. Wasn't there a big thing on Facebook at one time where people were putting, like, rainbows covering their faces or something like that? It was, I guess it was to support the same-sex marriages or things such as that. Was that correct? Mark, you should know about
that. I mean,
there
was a time that they were doing a lot of stuff, like, around the amendment, and the amendment was actually around just having basic rights if you were within one of those relationships.
Gotcha.
And so there was a lot of that going on.
Okay, guys, let me get some final thoughts because I want to wrap this up. I pretty much want us to keep the show at an hour. I'm not going to prolong it to two. But I do appreciate everyone's roundtable discussion. Thanks for the insight on the gentleman who says that he validates the fact that he slept with his ex-wife's sister and validated that. I think that's, in my opinion, very asinine. Thank you both for your opinion on that subject, because I did tell him, I'm going to bring that up on the show tonight. And he was like, bet, do that. I'm like, all right, I don't think the guys are going to be in agreement with you, so it was good to hear opposing views from others.
Tell him he riding solo on that one.
Yeah, he's got that one all by himself.
You don't need to be sleeping with your ex-wife's sister, like, and then blaming it on her, saying it's the woman's fault because she allowed me to come. You didn't have to go. All right. So on that note, next week, who do we have in the studio with us?
I'm looking at bringing in Mike Anderson. I'm hoping to hear from him in the next day or two. I believe you know Mike Anderson. I've alluded to him a couple of times. He's the guy that's with Polished Soul, and he was involved with served a prison term, and they basically turned his life around. And it wasn't for something, you know, very pleasant. I believe it was murder, actually, that he was involved in prison. But he definitely turned his life around and trying to help other youth turn their life around. He's actually a friend of the show because he's actually one of the people that follows us on a pretty regular basis and is on our little follower list and everything. So I'm hoping that I've talked to him and it seems like he's interested. So I'm hoping that he'll be joining us on next Wednesday. And then I've also, earlier today, I know you've got a guest on the 30th, but earlier today for the first week in October, there is a movement among society in general just to have startup and things of that nature. One of the leading startup pioneers actually lives here right in Durham. Yes, you're right, Dean. We have everything here in Durham. And that is Chris Gergen,
yeah,
who's been on Nightline and all kinds of other shows, but he's a founder of a lot of these startup kind of undergrounds, and he's agreed to be on the show too, so we'll probably have him sometime in October. And I'm going to reach out. I was reaching out to them while we were talking and find out what the heck happened to Bruce and Jamaica, and we'll try to reschedule them for the upcoming time. I know the last time we tried to have them, it was our fault. This time it seems like it's their fault. So hopefully the third time is the charm.
Hey, you know, well, more power to it. I know, yeah, the 30th, the guest that we have on the show, her name is Carla Mills. Carla is currently residing in Atlanta, Georgia, and she does have her own talk show on television, and she agreed to be a guest on the show. And she was an interesting woman. I actually did get to talk to her. So her name is Carla Marie Mills. Lives in Atlanta, Georgia, but she's originally from Philly. So big up to the Up North women. And she's, she said at first she went into retirement, but due to our conversation, decided to come out of retirement. Now she's back doing her talk show again on public access. Has even invited me to be a guest on her talk show. So that'd be kind of cool. So maybe we'll do a trade. She'll be on my talk show, and I'll be on hers. So she'll be the guest on the show on the 30th.
Cool.
Final thoughts for tonight. We will start with Mark Lee, your final thought for tonight.
As always, it's great hearing people's views and opinions and things of that nature. And like Ty said, we don't always agree, but it's just great getting different inputs and things of that nature. So hopefully we'll be getting those on a regular basis on this roundtable. And we'll also hopefully be hearing more from our audience and hear what they've got to say. I'm sure that there'll be some things that some of our audience members will say that I will think that they are totally insane, or Ty will think that they are totally insane. But hey, that's what a good conversation is about, learning from each other. And maybe there might even be some minds changed, or we just might come to the opinion that they think I'm insane and we think they're insane, but it's still a good conversation.
Well said, Barkley. My final thought for the night is this. Life is for the living, and all situations in life are a learning experience. So as long as you keep yourself open to newness, enjoy the view, and respect those that are different from you, whether it be same-sex relationships or whether it be sleeping with your ex-wife sister. You know, bottom line is we're all different, but we're all the same, which is human. We're all human beings, and we're here to live this life to the fullest. So with that said, tune in next Wednesday, The Voice of the People, right here on blogtalkradio.com, www.blogtalkradio.com/Ty Jones, The Voice, every Wednesday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Call the studio, 914-338-0659. This is Ty Jones, along with Mark Lee and Dean Geronimo. Take us out with your final thought for the night.
You know what? Cherish every day because tomorrow's not promised. Every time you walk out of your front door, it's showtime and the world is your stage. I want to send condolences to the family of one of my hometown heroes, Moses Malone, passed away on the 13th of September, 60 years old. His funeral, a celebration of life, will be this Saturday, September 19th at 12 p.m. at the Lakewood Church, 3700 Southwest Freeway, Houston, Texas. Every young man growing up in Petersburg, Virginia, you know, we wanted to be like Moses Malone. You know what I mean? And so, you know, just cherish every day and all of the people that are in your life, because you may wake up and they may not be here. So with that being said, Dean Geronimo's out. Mark Lee, Ty Jones, The Voice of the People. We see you next week.
Take it easy, folks. Later.
Later.
Later. You have been listening to The Voice of the People. Tune in every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. at blogtalkradio.com/Ty Jones The Voice, or join in the conversation at 914-338-0659. We thank you and we appreciate you.